God, it feels so good to come home after a long day at work. I'm feeling TV, plopping on the couch, maybe some Chinese food.
Surprise!
Whoa! Jared, hey, what are you doing here?
I snuck into your apartment to surprise you with the podcast.
Oh, we're podcasting now?
Yep, that's right. Here, just take a hold of that there. Just put that right on your lapel,
and we're going to do an episode. I guess we're doing this then.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't have a choice in the matter, I suppose. You brought the microphones and everything.
Dude, I flew all this way. Come on, we have to do the podcast.
Yeah, you did. You flew all the way here to surprise me.
So, hello. This is the Indie Film Review.
A surprise Indie Film Review.
Yes, where we review independent films for your viewing pleasure. Listening pleasure? Pleasure in general.
Pleasure. We like to pleasure and give pleasure. Oh, be no. Pleasured and give pleasure.
Oh, no. Yeah. And this is the point of the show where the person who's requested this film realizes they may have made a mistake. So one thing Dan was telling me. So we watched a film called Surprise Me.
Yes.
And we will talk about it. It will happen. But before we get to that, Dan, you made a very excellent point off air.
I said...
I'm Jared, that's Dan, by the way.
That I feel like it would behoove the filmmakers who submit their films to us to at least listen to one of our shows first, so they know what demographic we are, and they know what we're going to enjoy and not enjoy. That being said, this film, I feel, was fairly competently made. But it just was not my cup of tea because it's a romantic comedy and it was a painful hour and 45 minutes to sit through. But that's just because I don't like romantic comedy.
Okay. I feel like we do critically review the films.
I took some really good notes on the film, I think, that are going to be constructive criticism and things that I actually did enjoy about the film. But like the film as a whole just, ugh.
We'll dive into it, and we love doing that, and that's part of the show. But the other part of the show is us being silly billies. You know, it's us saying inappropriate things and being, you know, two doofy dudes that doof around and do doof stuff. So anywho, why don't you explain what this movie is about a little bit?
Sure. It's about a woman that I think her occupation is to throw surprise parties, because that wasn't entirely clear at the beginning. So she likes to throw surprise parties, and she has an on-again, off-again kind of weird relationship with this dude that she's trying to avoid, and they eventually fall in love. And she has this longtime friend that they don't love each other, but, you know, it's basically a love triangle, but it's a distant love triangle, if anything. Yeah. And it's her trying to navigate her life in terms of, you know, living it for the moment, living it for the people that she wants to love, and dealing with emotions in different ways.
Would you say that she wants to live, and that she wants to laugh, and that she wants to love?
Yes, I would say that.
All those three things she wants to do?
She is a triple threat.
So, to Dan's point earlier, he was saying he's not a big fan of romantic comedies. I actually like romantic comedies.
It felt like a Lifetime movie.
Yes, that is... to my second point of, I don't think this film is for us at all.
100% not.
We should not have watched this film.
But we have did. One thing that, so...
yes. We have the one thing that you probably shouldn't have when you watch this film, and that is a penis. And the reason I am saying that is because I read an interview with Nancy Goodman, is the person who I believe
wrote, directed, and produced.
Yes, and... I'll say right off the bat, her directing of this and producing of this, great. I didn't find any issues with this movie. I thought it was...
That's strange. I didn't find anything wrong with it except for one scene, which we're going to talk about.
Okay, we'll talk about that scene for sure. But like overall, would you say the acting was pretty good?
I think absolutely. No, the acting was fantastic. The narrative, I liked the narrative, even though it felt choppy at times. I liked where it went.
Some of the editing was a little weird because scenes would just happen in rapid succession really fast.
Let me rephrase it. I didn't like the narrative because it's a romantic comedy, but it made sense. Like, it was not a terrible narrative.
Yeah. It's the story and the plot that I kind of had more of an issue with, and the comedy aspect of this film I did not find funny at all, really. I mean, there was maybe one or two times where I like smiled and did a little chuckle, but my main interest in the film was the relationship between Jeannie, the main character, and you have Jeff, her love interest, and then you have Danny, who is her best friend and like the obvious guy that she's going to eventually, you know, hook up with. That's the whole love triangle Dan was talking about earlier. But like, this movie is full of tons of cliches of a romantic comedy. Like, if someone was like, an alien showed up and they're like, what is a romantic comedy?
You show them this movie.
They would be like, I understand what a romantic comedy is.
Okay, well, then let's start with questions. Before we even get into Jeff, I want to ask some questions, Jared.
Sure.
You brought up cliches already. We're going to talk about cliches. How many cliches did you think were in this movie?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, okay, let me rephrase the question. Are you ready? How many of the cliches were just like, oh...
A lot of them. One of them I thought actually helped the film, because there's really? A gay black man named Steven.
Oh yeah, he was awesome. He was my favorite character.
His character was great.
He's definitely what made me like every part of his.
Yeah, but he's really just there for emotional support. Well, one of the issues with this film is that all the characters are just there to service the main character Jeannie. None of them really have their own lives outside of Jeannie. They're all there to give her advice and help her in her life. And none of them have, like, their own side story or anything else going on with them or character depth. It's all about Jeannie. And that felt kind of weird. I felt like I was in some, like, Truman Show type shit where everyone just stops what they're doing. And the movie even brings this up at one point where one of the characters is like, oh boy, are we going to have one of those talks where you tell me everything that's wrong and then I try to help you or something? They literally say what it is. And I'm like, I get you're being meta right now, but also you're still doing it. So that doesn't help. That doesn't help what's happening here. That all could have been alleviated if I thought this film was funnier. Because I feel like a lot of this stuff I overlook because maybe I'm enjoying it more.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another point to the author. Because if you get a chance to read this article... let me get to it here. It is from inmag.com, and it's author, filmmaker, Nancy Goodman surprises us. It's actually a pretty interesting article because it really dives into what Nancy was going for. So she was going for two big things. One, she wanted to tackle eating disorders because she herself has an eating disorder, and it's very personal, and I wish that that topic was more of the focus of what the film was. And then so the second part of that is that she wanted it to be a very lighthearted, fluffy film. So like, she achieved exactly what she wanted.
That's okay.
She didn't want any real drama. She didn't want any darkness in the film, because she says like, people with these eating disorders and the women I'm trying to reach, they already have enough of that in their lives. But my problem with that is it doesn't feel realistic. Like, I really like the message you're trying to go for with this, the eating disorder and talking about
that. But the way it comes across.
Yes, it's a very relevant topic that I want to hear about, but to talk about it in such like a lighthearted-ish, like almost like fairy tale, not real type of way was a big turnoff for me, because it didn't feel, I don't know if sincere is the right, because she's very sincere about the film she's trying to make. It felt off-putting to me. But that's also it could be my taste. Other people might watch this movie and they may not need that realness to it. And they're able to enjoy it for what it is. And I think a lot of women, especially women who have had eating disorders before, could relate to this movie a lot. But you can see how that doesn't really work with us at all.
Yeah.
I super commend her for trying to tackle that.
Yeah, no. I get it. I did think that another one of my favorite characters in the movie is the therapist.
Yes.
Because she reminds me of my therapist.
The lady from Mad TV.
Yeah. But the way she was playing that therapist, like, I have a therapist that's very similar.
Yeah.
So.
Did she use like little chew toys and like squeak them at you?
Not little chew toys, but she's like, I swear she took a line directly from my therapist. She's like, you have a little boy inside you. I'm like, oh shit.
We've already had this conversation of if you met yourself like time traveling, what would you do? And I think I said invite him into my van. I think I said I'd probably have to kill my other self because there can only be one.
Even if it's a baby?
No. I would raise him to be a grown man and teach him how to fight. And then we'd kill each other in combat.
To duel each other with swords?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not those kind of swords. Guys.
Oh, no, 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 no. See? We're gross men. How can we talk about this film?
We should just make that a punctuation in every single joke. Men.
We're gross men. And basically children. So, okay, Dan.
Whoa.
I feel like I've been railroading you and talking over you. So was there something else you wanted to... any other point you wanted to get across about
What are we doing next? I'm ready.
We could do a little more questions. Okay. Maybe I'll ask you one more question.
Ask me a question.
Knowing now what I've told you, Dan, about what this film is trying to do, does that change how you feel about the film in any way? Because it did for me.
It certainly does. It certainly does change my outlook on it. I really do appreciate the fact that there's a lot of intent behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of meaning for the director. And it's kind of a meaningful piece to her and to women. However, I don't know who I would recommend this to. I could recommend it. I just don't know who I would.
Yeah. It's just... comedy is subjective, like art and everything else, but I could not find anything funny with this movie.
There was one scene, or one line, that made me laugh. It was a really good line.
Mm-hmm.
It was the very first time that the love interests meet in a coffee shop.
Yes.
And the guy was being a fucking tool and a complete cliche douchebag.
You mean the Tom Cruise ripoff?
Yeah. She turns to him. Oh, you thought that too? Good.
Yeah.
She turns to him. She's like, I'm sorry. Artificial sweetener only works in my coffee. I'm like, damn.
Damn.
That was fucking rad. So good on you for that line. I was impressed.
That one scene where she imagines elbowing her best friend's girlfriend because she's so annoying and her laugh is really terrible. That was kind of funny to me. Some of the stuff that Steven would say was kind of amused. It was more. It wasn't like, haha, hilarious. It was like, oh, that's amusing. I was just kind of like, crack a smile.
Surprise!
Oh!
We're gonna get into spoilers now.
What's going on here? What
we're,
is this?
We're, oh. We're resuming the show. I surprised the podcast with another podcast.
Where have I been the last 10 years, Dan? I've been so lost. Have we been doing a podcast for this long? Didn't you feel like they should have had more surprises in this movie?
Yes, I was so.
There was only like 4 of them.
Now, okay. So I'm going to try to lead you down my thought process of this film and see where it takes us.
Okay.
We first get it's based on a novel, and I would assume that they did a pretty good job adapting it. I'm not going to bother to read it because I don't like romantic comedy. But at the very beginning, the very first surprise is this old couple's anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And they are being shown a house that they're about to buy.
Yeah.
And it's a surprise party. And one of the women says, like, she pulls Jeannie aside afterwards. She's like, how did you let them do that? How did you get them to let you show the house? And she's like, well, I thought it was going to result in a sale. So I'm like, is she a fucking realtor? Or is she throwing surprise parties?
Yeah, I thought she was like a... she was like trying to become a realtor, or I was confused.
And then whenever the police station surprise comes, I'm like, I probably should have seen that coming, but I guess I wasn't paying attention enough. So tell me about the police station surprise.
So it's Jeannie and Danny. Oh, Danny's in the film.
Oh, you got a connection to this film too.
I am?
Yeah. The love interest doesn't like onions.
What? Oh my god. What's that guy's name? Me and the insane. Okay. He has the craziest Tom Cruise eyes. You just see the madness like twitching. And if they decided to go just a teensy bit dark with that character, how much more fun would have this movie would have been of him just being
he was
like,
pretty
at
dark
any
to
moment,
me. Like
yeah.
he was uncomfortably persistent.
If you think of that guy as like a serial killer, it takes this movie to a whole different level. Because I just felt like at any moment, this Jeff was going to try to strangle Jeannie,
or just like
and just be like, I love
exactly.
You.
He has those dead eyes. He's just waiting for him to fucking rip off somebody's head.
Oh my
god! It's like Jeannie,
and it's like the end of the film is the climax. Jeff is like strangling Jeannie, and then Steve comes up with an axe and like hits him with an axe in the back. He's like, I didn't want to do it. We gotta get out of here, Jeannie. And of course, he's not dead, and they look back, and his corpse is gone.
Welcome to our new show, Everything is a Horror Movie.
It'll be called Surprise Me Again.
Surprise Me 2.
Hell.
Surprise Me 3. Genie Takes Manhattan.
We'll have a scene with Jeff is jumping up and down on a couch and yelling, I'm in love with Jeannie Holmes. Because, you know, super old callbacks to jokes no one remembers is always really funny. Holmes? Anyways, Katie Holmes, don't worry about it.
I forgot about that.
The joke becomes funnier when you have to explain it to your co-host because it's so old.
Well, we already made that joke, like, on a very old episode.
I'm sure we have many times. Because
we watched that
one
movie with Katie Holmes in it.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right. Ah, oh, goddammit. She's doing all right. She's doing good.
Good for her.
So, I may have gotten off track. The police station. It is Jeannie and Danny are in a car. They get pulled over by a cop. For some reason, Danny doesn't have his driver's license. And he gets to go to jail. And then while he's getting processed, he walks into a room. And then, boom, surprise. It's a surprise birthday party for him. Which I definitely got me. I mean, I don't know. And then I thought, like, this whole thing of, like, anything could become a surprise. I thought that was a great idea. Of, like, we could just fuck with the audience all
yeah,
the
and
time.
And I wish
like,
they,
everything
I wish
is
they
a freaking
had
surprise.
Played with that more.
Yeah. And, the big surprise at the end of the film was...
Wait, before you even get there.
Sure.
I want to talk about this really weird scene.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Oh, we're going to do spoilers right now if we haven't already. We kind of spoiled some
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I told you it was a surprise. I surprised you with the spoiler
oh,
section.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're surprising me with
I
the
put
spoilers.
All my work into my surprise and you just don't even notice.
I know.
Now, after, almost directly after the... Oh, they meet in the store. That's what it
yes.
is. So she
oh,
meets Jeff in
the
store.
Encounter. Uh-huh.
I don't care about the store encounter. But she meets Jeff in the store. They have a they flirt and they're like, okay, well, I'll finally go on a date with you, let's say Wednesday. The next scene, she goes to her parents' house, her mom and her stepdad. And they're having a good time and they're talking like they would normally talk. And mom starts to get into a fight with Jeannie because Jeannie's like, it reminds me of dad. Because dad apparently died in a tragic accident as whenever she was a kid. And mom is trying to move on with her life. And Jeannie doesn't understand the emotions that mom's going through. So, like, there's definitely, like, this discrepancy between how Jeannie's coping and how mom is coping. Mom is getting upset. Jeannie's getting angry. And mom's like, you know what? Just fuck it. Whatever. And she leaves the room. And you cut to a fucking elephant. And I'm like, what the fuck? I thought it was mom in the elephant suit because it was literally the same room. It looked like the same room and it just like elephant. I'm like, what?
Wasn't it Danny in an elephant costume? And you don't know it's Halloween until a little girl knocks on the door.
Exactly.
And it's like, trick or treat. You're like, why is this guy in an elephant costume?
But even with it being Halloween, it was immediately from I'm mad at my mom to my friend is trying to cheer me up. It was a strange tonal shift, and that was really the only problem, like, with the editing I had. Except for the fact that, like, it got really confusing at one point to see that time was moving on, I guess.
It felt like we were focusing on the main plot at times, and at other times we just cut to, like, Jeannie at work with Steve. Mm-hmm. And they'd have just this non sequitur random scene that didn't matter, and then we'd cut back to the plot again. And that scene, sometimes we'd cut to a scene that would last like 3 seconds. It was very strange. Like, remember when they cut to them playing paintball?
Yeah.
Like, we're playing paintball! That lasted like 3 seconds! And it was like, oh, it's gone. And I'm like,
Speaking of playing paintball, it's almost never explained who that blonde person is that she goes paintballing with. Just,
oh, her
she
friend?
Comes out of nowhere, and she's like, I'm your friend now. That I haven't been introduced yet.
I don't even know her name. I never got her name. But she shows up, like, a lot throughout the film. And I'm like, I don't know who this lady is. I guess it's just Jeannie's friend. But that's how Jeannie treats everyone else, though. It's like, she's the most important person. You have to listen to what I'm saying. The only story that matters is the one that's resolved with me. Because does her and her mom, does that whole thing get resolved?
No.
I don't remember it happening. We just kind of are like... That whole scene where they both got mad at each other over the death of their husband, father, you know, like, That sounds like a thing that should be resolved later. Nope.
Well, Mom does come back and give Jeannie, like, some of Dad's things and her necklace.
But that doesn't end well.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't end well at all. And so, like, that's still unresolved stuff there. Because they're each dealing with grief in a different way. It's just they needed to realize that. And it becomes way more about Jeannie's eating disorder and the things that trigger it instead of the stuff that's going on in her life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I get how that's equating to like the bad things in her life, but some of these things still need to be resolved. Like her and the little girl, like what's the relationship there?
Yeah.
With her and this girl. I mean, she lost a father. The little girl lost a father. There can be more to this than just the little girl hits her head.
Well, I feel this is...
That's it.
This is kind of part and parcel to the fact that you're adapting it from a novel. I'm pretty sure the novel does go into depth about everything.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can do within the time constraint of an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah, it's true, I guess. Well, how did you feel about the chemistry between Jeannie and Danny?
I liked it a lot. I don't understand. Like, it was hard for me to believe that they weren't a couple.
And yeah, right?
They make a joke about that in the film, but I don't know. It felt like Danny should have been... I don't know. I feel like Jeff could have had more chemistry with her. Because whenever we get to know that, like, Jeff might be cheating on her and all this other shit, it just made me hate Jeff.
Well, you're kind of supposed to. I mean,
but
he's not...
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. So, okay, we have to talk about the wedding, because this is the thing that, like, my mind exploded. So, Jeff, big spoiler, he set up for an entire month. He hired his friend to go, to pretend to be a big client, and go to Jeannie's work. And Jeff's friend is like, hey, I'm going to marry my girlfriend, my sweetheart. I'm a very rich businessman. I'm a high-value client. And I want to throw a wedding for her without her knowing. And he's like, we're going to do this big wedding, but we need to trick her into thinking that she doesn't know it's actually a real wedding. So the whole deal is like, he's a movie producer. So it's like, oh, they're all going to go to this wedding and she's going to need to be a stand-in for the bride. And then, oh, all of a sudden her dad's walking her down the aisle and she's realizing I'm getting married and it's all real. The problem with that is Jeannie doesn't like this idea. She's like, I hate this idea. I think it's sleazy that this character would want to do this with his girlfriend, because, like, wouldn't you want to, like, ask them first and get engaged and make sure this person actually wants to marry you? But then she starts going down this rabbit hole of, like, oh, it'll be so romantic. She thinks, like, okay, this is my client. I don't want this to happen to me. This sounds terrible, but... And I don't like my client. He's kind of a jerk, but I want that money. So I'm going to do the best job I can with this experience that he's asking, and we'll just hope everything goes well. So then the climax is somehow there's circumstances where they get Jeannie into the wedding outfit. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to do the wedding anyways just for fun. And then, of course, we realize then that she's actually being surprised with her own wedding with Jeff. So this was a big elaborate ruse of Jeff over a month to try to marry Jeannie, but to marry her in a way that we know Jeannie does not like and is, like, gross, and, like, any normal human being would be like, this is the worst idea.
Yeah.
You should never surprise anyone with a wedding. That's insane. It's crazy. So when they do the wedding, she's obviously like,
typical
no.
Tool cliche behavior.
Yeah. It's like, because this guy, Jeff, is so self-absorbed. He's like, obviously, this is going to fix all of our problems. And he's like, this is how I'll make you happy. It's not about them together. It's more of like, how can I placate you?
Yeah.
So I can keep doing what I want to do and also have this other secret double life, you know? But thankfully, she sees through that. And if he's like, listen, I feel weird about a lot of things. I feel weird about that woman who was in your house. With her suitcase in our bedroom, and she was like in a nightie, you know, and you tried to say that she was there for work, and I'm like, I don't feel good about this. Give me your phone right now. Let me look through your text. What is he going to do? What is he going to say? Of course, he's going to have to let her. If you're in a relationship with somebody, be like, sure, if you feel like something's weird, here you go. Here's access to my phone. Let me go through it.
But what if he really was? Oh.
If he says no, then that's when you're like, okay. Apparently, you don't want to be in this relationship anymore, because that would have solved I could have ended this movie real fast. I mean, then there wouldn't have been a movie, but...
Yeah. That's kind of what makes her feel unrealistic, in a way.
Mm.
Anybody would drop Jeff like a hot fucking plate.
Because she knows that he is a player. From the beginning, she knows this.
Yeah.
And the entire film, she's like, I shouldn't be with Jeff. She feels awkward about it. And she keeps thinking, oh, it's because I don't want to commit to anybody. It's because I have this trauma with my dad. But it's more that she's in love with her best friend and for some reason she can't commit to him. That's the real issue. It's strange. It's just, you already know what the conclusion is to the film. You're waiting for the film to catch up.
Yeah.
That's not...
I got that vibe too.
And that's all I can really say about it. Dan, did you have any other final words?
I have two scenes I want to talk about.
Okay, sure.
All right. One is the blonde lady who is in the car with her. Or no. She's talking to the blonde lady on the phone, and we find out that the blonde lady is her friend, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's in an Uber, and her Uber driver is like, where do you want to go? And the blonde lady is complaining over the phone about her Uber driver, that he smells.
Yeah, this scene was not good.
She puts Altoids into her nose. And I want to know, is the joke that all guys with beards smell? Or
I don't know what the joke was.
That she put Altoids in her nose. I couldn't figure it out. And then, surprise, surprise, surprise!
Uh-huh.
I actually had one scene that I was very fond of in this movie.
Okay.
Top 10 moments of a very specific type of cinema.
Oh.
Bathroom scenes.
Yes! Talk about the bathroom scene!
It's in my top 10 bathroom scenes of all time. Basically, Jeannie's having a panic attack, and it's like a real panic attack because she doesn't know how to feel about Jeff. And she's in a public restroom at an amusement park, and there's people outside waiting. And she's like, I'm talking to my therapist, hold on. And she's like crying into the phone. And this lady busts in and just sits on the toilet behind her and starts pissing. And I'm like, yes.
She's like giving her life advice too while she's on the
shitter. It was fucking rad. See, there's the scene for the men right there.
That was pretty good. There are some things in this movie that I think work. Like stuff like that. I like the scene where they're in the clay night class together. They're like doing clay sculptures together, and her friend is like making this big ass dick, and she keeps making like dick puns.
That was pretty good.
And like laughing just maniacally, like while everyone else is really uncomfortable. I like that a lot too. Huh, who would have thought Jared likes dick jokes?
Who would have thought?
Okay, everyone. Well, I think that's everything.
That was a good looking dick too.
Yeah, it was a good looking dick. Big ups on that dick sculpture. So if you'd like to find us, we're on Facebook at IndieFilmReview at Facebook.com. Twitter at IndieFilmPod.
Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod.
Yes, and if you'd like to email us, it's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We are also hosted on Podbean, IndieFilmReview.podbean.com. Please let us know how we're doing. If you like the show, like, I want to hear your feedback. If you really enjoy it, like, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Tell people about the show. I mean, this is the best way to get other people to listen. Just tell people about the show. We'd really appreciate it. We are also big time hosted on the Necropodicon Network.
The Necropodicon Network, where you can find multiple shows that range from movie reviews to tabletop board gaming to this really cool one called Grow Out of It, where like they ask you to read things that you wrote as a child.
Yeah, that's so good. It's like old fanfics that you wrote. But yeah. So, Necropodicon, check it out. Dan, it's now time for the final surprise.
What is it?
Your final word.
Oh. Well, I'm so surprised. I'm speechless. let me go through my surprise notes and I'll paintball.
Unnecessary Evil is the source for all things evil. Whether it's tips to write a better villain or tips on how to be a better villain, part of the Necropodicon Network. Necropodicon, hard to pronounce, easy to listen.